Welcome to the Florida Specifier Podcast. I'm Ryan Matthews, and I'm joined by my co-host, Brett Cyphers. As always, if you like what you hear and want to support the show, which we greatly appreciate, please hit subscribe on the listening platform of your choice, and don't forget to leave a five-star rating and review. It really does help. If you haven't already, please also subscribe to the Florida Specifier online at floridaspecifier.com. Well, Brett, we've got a couple of exciting issues coming up, particularly because the legislature is ramping up their work prior to the 2025 legislative session. So we'd ask everybody to please be sure to go to the website and subscribe to the paper as well as the weekly newsletter. We appreciate your support.
Yeah, Ryan, I am really excited about our guest today. I can't imagine we have any listeners who don't already know who Florida's Agriculture Commissioner is. It's Wilton Simpson, obviously.
You're right. I wouldn't think so, no. But what I don't know is how many of our listeners know just how vast the Department of Agriculture and Consumer Services is and just how much they oversee.
Yeah, that's why we're so pleased to have today's guest, Florida's 13th Commissioner of Agriculture and former Senate President Wilton Simpson. Commissioner, thanks for joining us. How are you?
I'm doing great, and thank you for having me. And you're right, the Department of Agriculture is vast. And we've been doing this almost 2 years now, and you know, we've got about 4,000 employees and 20 divisions, and we touch a lot of facets, not only in agriculture, but our consumer services.
Well, Commissioner, Brett said we appreciate your time greatly. We're here at the AIF Water Forum. We're discussing water resources and their direct impact on the state's agriculture. It's an event that you're no stranger to. And before we dive into agricultural specific issues, tell our listeners a little bit about your background. How'd you get to where you are today?
Well, you know, I grew up in a small town called Trilby. I always like to tell everybody, just so they know where, most people don't know where Trilby is, but I always like to clear that up. It's right beside Lacoochee. And so I grew up, it's in East Pasco County, and went to school there in Dade City, fifth generation Floridian. Grew up working on our farm all of my life, all on an egg farm. We had some citrus, some cattle, some hay. I also worked with our construction business and asbestos removal business since the mid-70s. My dad's company was one of the first companies in the state to actually remove asbestos out of buildings. And so I've done that all of my life also. And in 2012, I decided to run for the Florida Senate. And if you run unopposed, it's an easy way to win. And so thank goodness for that. And so I served in the Senate for 10 years. My last 2 years during COVID, the 2022 session, I was Senate President and then ran for Commissioner of Agriculture. And now I have been Commissioner of Agriculture for almost 2 years.
Yeah, I mean, speaking of agriculture, Florida's an incredibly diverse state. Ag plays a huge part in that. And so what I'd like you to do is maybe give a little bit of a state of agriculture right now.
When you think about agriculture, most people probably don't think about agriculture, but when I think about it, I think of several things. From an economic perspective, agriculture is over a $200 billion a year economic output, the second leading driver of the economy in the state of Florida. Now, we're second today because we have a good economy. In a recession or in a pandemic, the agriculture is the leading driver of the economy. Over 2.5 million people go to work today in agriculture. And of course, it's incumbent upon us really to get our message out to, you know, and we do that in several ways in the department with Fresh from Florida. Anyone listening should take a look at that website and join. We have went from a few hundred thousand members of that organization now to well over 1 million. We're very proud of that. And we're wanting to make people aware of Florida agriculture here in the state. But not only from an economic perspective, during the winter time, right now on the eastern seaboard of the United States, we produce over 70% of all vegetables in the United States. So we are a major economic engine. We're a major food supplier, not only the United States, but the world. And we're very proud of those things.
So outside of a pandemic, and I appreciate that sort of overarching state of Florida agriculture, what are some of the biggest threats to agriculture? Obviously, citrus has gone up and down over the past decades, but in your mind, what are some of the biggest threats to?
The absolute biggest threat is growth. 1,000 people a day still move to the state of Florida, and they're going to live somewhere. And as you see more and more development in the state of Florida, clearly there's less and less land that clearly used to be agricultural land. That's probably the biggest threat, which ties in then with the other threats, water use. You know, agriculture has been very good at using best management practices to reduce our water demand. Most crops in the last 25, 30 years have reduced their water demand 50 to 80%. fertilizer usage. And using AI, it's going to even be more effective. And we've been using AI in agriculture for many years, but best management practices is where we are. So I think between the growth, the encroachment, you know, the urban America on agriculture is probably the biggest threat. And obviously in the Senate, when I was Senate president, I championed the wildlife corridor. We've got that enacted in statute. That will be a big help if we can protect that area. And we're very proud of those accomplishments, but we do have many threats. And the third threat I'll mention is the federal government and the regulatory structure. So we just had an election in this state, in this country, we just had an election. We have a new organization with President Trump and his team coming in at the federal level. I think that's going to substantially help not only our business community, but agriculture also.
Yeah, Ryan, and you as well, mentioned the breadth of your agency, which is enormous. It's a cabinet agency. Its responsibilities extend far beyond agriculture as well. Can you give folks an idea of getting beyond agriculture to all the other things that you're responsible for as well?
Sure. Well, we there's a lot of licensing goes on with the department. The concealed weapons license, but business license, many different business licensing goes through the department. We have an extensive program there. You know, when we get ready for hurricanes, you know, we go out and we check all the fuel and to make sure there's no contaminated fuel, to make sure that you're getting a gallon of gas for the price that is set on the pump, right? So we have teams that inspect fuel pumps, we have scales, licensing, and then of course, when you have a natural disaster, we're very engaged in that process from our forestry teams doing chainsaw work to help get roads cleared and farms back up and running, to you know, our law enforcement doing search and rescue missions and things of that nature. So the department is very expansive.
Yeah, it made a big difference. Diverge a little bit here is just so you know, it's like in my first contact with you was as Ag Commissioner, and I was at the Northwest Florida Water Management District. And just to give people an idea of just how big an impact that you and your agency had post Hurricane Michael it's almost immeasurable in terms of the support, especially from Jim Carls and forestry coming out to help prevent wildfires. And just, I just want people out there in the public that are listening to understand all the things that you do and the importance, especially after these disasters.
Well, no, and not only that, you know, we, after Idalia, the department came up with a 0% loan program and a grant program to help all farmers, but especially small farmers, get back on their feet quickly. Our Florida Forest Service is one of the best in the country. Rick Dolan does a tremendous job managing that facility. I brought him on board as I came in, and we are working very hard. After Idalia, we had a program to help small farmers replant their forests. We have a major burn program. I'm very proud to say that I think the number last year was 277,000 acres that we actually did a control burn on, make sure we're reclaiming our forests, make sure these wildfires do not get out of control. We're doing control cut lines around critical facilities like nursing homes and hospitals and those types of things. And I think those things are all important. And you're right, the general public wouldn't know the department is doing those things, but it's a major initiative of our Florida Forest Service under Rick Dolan's leadership. And it's something that as Commissioner of Agriculture, clearly we're pushing and supporting, but making sure that we have the right equipment to do those types of jobs. And so we're very proud of we've probably bought, upwards of $100 million worth of equipment in the last few years. Again, that was some funding I had put in place as Senate President. But we now have helicopters to help forest fires, right? And we did in the old days, but they were 1970s Hueys that may or may not be running, right? Or may not get off the ground. Today, we have our own small fleet of helicopters to go help, fight forest fires. And the earlier we can get to them, the better off we are. We have a drone program in our Florida Forest Service. So if you have a fire today, we have a drone in the air within minutes looking at what started the fire, where did it come from, what direction is it moving in. It helps our people on the ground not only get there quicker to the source, but again, it we can put those fires out much quicker because of the response time that we have today. And I'm very proud of the job that they do in and around, obviously most of our state forests are, from say Gainesville north and through the Panhandle, but we have many forests throughout Florida, through Central, and I think one of our largest is actually the Withlacoochee Division there in, Hernando, Citrus, Pasco counties. And in that geographic area. So we're very proud of our foresters and our rangers. They're doing a tremendous job. And I tell them, and I've met with many of them. I've met almost all of our people out where they are. They sometimes they come to groups and I go meet them. I love to go out and see them where they work. And I always tell them, look, guys, be very aggressive. We want to do control burns. We want you to put out fires quickly. We want you to have, and we want you to have all the tools and all the training you need to do that with, but go home safely at night. Nobody's injury, nobody's life is worth getting in the way of a fire. We can always rebuild a home. We can always redo things, but we're here to protect life and we're here to protect Florida and Florida residents. And it's something we're very proud of in the job they do.
Yeah, I think you should be. And I think that even now, like you mentioned earlier, the encroachment of the urbanization of Florida into more natural areas, that becomes so important that the job you're doing. And you see when it doesn't happen in some other states where you have wildfires that end up destroying entire communities. So.
That's right. And that's why, you know, you had, a few months ago, a proposal came out of DEP about building facilities in our park areas, and I immediately come out against that proposal. We do not want, you know, lodges and condominiums and pickleball courts and golf courses in the middle of our forests. And it's something certainly I would not, as a cabinet member, would not condone. And so we're going to protect those wildlife areas. You know, as Senate President, again, the wildlife corridor was a major priority, and this is all part of that.
Well, Brett mentioned his first interaction with you was during your current office as Ag Commissioner. Mine was when you were a freshman in the Senate and chaired the Community Affairs Committee, and I kind of wanted to talk a little bit about, you know, not only the wildlife corridor that you mentioned, but some of the things that you've carried over since your time in the Senate and as Senate President, and particularly the Ag Conservation Easement Program. I mean, that was something that, you know, again, when you're talking about extending the life of Florida agriculture, extending the absolute necessity and history of those family farmers who have been on land, who have worked the land for decades. Talk a little bit about that work, because it's so important to what you're doing.
Well, I appreciate that type of a question, because again, it's one of those things we don't really take enough credit for at the department. But when you think about the wildlife corridor and defining that in state statute, and then it's something then we can look forward to protecting. Again, that was one of my number one priorities as Senate President. And how I define the wildlife corridor, Google a map of the state of Florida at nighttime. You will see all the beautiful lights of this state. Everywhere it's dark on that map is where animals traverse the state, it's where the aquifer is recharged, and it's where we grow your food. And so the Rural and Family Lands program, which is our version of, you know, conserving land, we go and buy development rights from farmers who sign up for our program, and then that land in perpetuity is going to be in family farming. And so we're very proud of the program. When I had come into the Department of Agriculture, I think we had almost 60,000 acres that had been secured in the program since 2001, so over a 20-year period. We now have secured over another 60,000 acres in that program just in the last 2 years. And you know, was very fortunate. I had put $300 million in the budget as Senate President to go towards that program. And then last year, the legislature gave us $100 million of recurring revenue. So we're going to go back and work with the legislature this year to make sure that we get the funding that is really required to do those things. And I can't overstress the significance of this. If I go buy your development rights, you still own the property. You still pay local property taxes. You're responsible for taking care of that land. If I buy your property outright, and the state has done a lot of that, then not only do we pay a lot more money for buying it outright, which costs the taxpayers more, but then we have to go back and get more money to take care of those properties. And we're not very good at that in a lot of cases in the state. And so I'm hoping that the legislature will see the value of that Rural and Family Lands program. About 90% or a little over 90% of the projects that we purchase are within the wildlife corridor. And there is, I believe, about a million and a half acres left or so that we need to get those development rights so that we can ensure Florida's future, because this is in perpetuity for, again, growing food, aquifer recharge, and animals traversing the state. It's something we can't do without.
Let me take you back to hurricanes again, and especially the response, and not necessarily from the forestry side, but from your desk side. We had an article in our most recent specifier that talked about your efforts to get funding to help farms. Some of them are insured loss, some of them are uninsured losses that you face, you know, especially in the middle of the state or other places that have had that damage. Can you tell us how that effort is going? Are there any updates in terms of their response?
You know, that response was immediate and in real time. And I can tell you, our constituents, our farming community, and no community normally believes that government can react in real time. And I'll give you a couple of examples. We had a large orange juice facility, that the power had been taken out of. They had a lot of cold storage. We lost tens of millions, many millions of dollars of inventory had we not have got the power turned back onto that facility. And obviously the utility in that area worked very diligently and did that. That's an example how the department worked with the utility to take care of these farmers. And by the way, that's hundreds of farmers. They're a co-op. When you look at the strawberry growers, we had many coolers with plants in them. So they keep their plants in coolers till they plant them. Not only did it rip up a lot of the product that they'd already planted, but then the coolers had no power. We'd lost every one of those plants. We got generators down there in real time and saved a lot of those crops. And then we also had the loan program from Idalia to where those farmers could borrow money at a 0% interest rate to immediately get that crop in the ground. So when you're looking at this year right now in the stores, fresh from Florida strawberries, and I hope we have a bumper crop this year. The farmers are very resilient and replanted and obviously took a bigger financial risk, but at least now maybe they'll have some reward out of that. That's the reason that people should, when they go to their grocery stores, they should be looking for fresh from Florida items. Because if you support your Florida farmers, they're not going to be planting houses there in a few years, right? Farmers want to farm. The reason they quit farming is either the regulatory structure gets too onerous, and there's a lot of regulatory structure from the federal level, not from the state level, but federal regulation, state regulation, county and local regulations, or they get in a position where they've been wiped out two or three years in a row by natural disasters like hurricanes. They can't afford to replant. You know, the inflation that we've seen in this country in the last few years has destroyed the American dream for a lot of our small farmers. And so, you know, the farmers are resilient. We are coming back. But being able to respond in real time to where this year those farmers in that strawberry area, and most of that's, you know, throughout the eastern Hillsborough area, will be able to recover very quickly and did. And now they'll enjoy, hopefully, a bumper crop this year as it relates to their product. Those are things that we've done. You know, we had fuel stations that had contaminated fuel, getting that restored very quick. Normally within days, we have those cleaned up and back in restoration. In one of the previous hurricanes, we had a tanker that had mixed diesel and gasoline fuel. We did a stop order on the gas stations where they were right before a hurricane hit. We got them cleaned up within a few days and back online. Those are the things that we're doing behind the scene that your department is, I'm very proud of as, you know, as Commissioner of Agriculture. But we have a great team of people that execute these things, and it starts with my Chief of Staff, Kathy Mears. And again, we have 20 different directors, and each one of them are really experts and very knowledgeable in their area. And so they do a great job, and I always tell them, this is the good part of it. I said, guys, if you do a really bad job, I'm the one that's going to get blamed for it because I'm the Commissioner of Agriculture. If you do a really good job, I'm going to give you the due credit because you did a great job. So it's a really good system there. And they, I think they appreciate that. But I tell them openly, do your job very aggressively. If you make a mistake, I'm happy to take credit for the mistakes. And I'm very happy and very honored to be able to give them the credit for the great work they do.
Are you, in terms of your relationship, you mentioned it earlier that you thought you were going to see an improvement in the relationship between Florida agriculture and the federal government, your federal counterparts. Are you seeing that already when you look at some of these things that you've been through in the last few years?
What I believe, I'm seeing hope already. So, you know, we've got an inauguration on the 20th of January, and I think there'll be a lot of work done very quickly to help farmers. The Farm Bill is supposed to get passed every 5 years in Washington. What's been seven now? And so we've had 2 years of no Farm Bill, and we've got several billion dollars of needs in the state of Florida that have not been met because the federal government hasn't done their job. Surprise, surprise. And so I'm very hopeful that, you know, Rick Scott has been a champion of agriculture. He's visited many times. Marco Rubio is a champion of agriculture. We have two great senators. We have many representatives that are champions of agriculture. Kat Kamek's on the Ag Committee. Kat's done a great job representing us in Washington. So I am hopeful if we do not get a farm bill passed in this lame duck session, which looks less and less likely. And it's, you know, and they say, well, why does the federal government never do anything? And it's kind of like, well, tradition mostly, right? But I'm hopeful that they'll come back next year when they get started. I was with Speaker Johnson about a month or so ago, 2 months ago, looking at a lot of the storm damage from Helene. You know, after Milton, we sort of forgot about Helene.
Right.
But he did a tour of that area and was very responsive. And so I think he's going to lead an effort in the House. And I know Senator Scott will lead an effort in the Senate to really get us back on our feet. And that's so we're more hopeful now. Under the other administration, there's not only not hope. Embedded within that administration, you had a lot of the net zero 2035 folks or 2050 folks that think that about half of your agriculture's got to go away. you know, what a tragedy that would be, right?
And how are we going to feed less food and higher food prices?
Right. Amen. When you talk about inflation, the incompetence of that administration and, you know, the economic incompetence, the agriculture incompetence. Think about this. There's going to be another 1 billion people living on this planet in 25 years. And those folks want to cut agriculture production by 30 to 50%. You just have to tell me which nations are going to starve to death, right? Because a lot of people are going to starve to death. And the inflation embedded in that formula is really amazing. And not only was the inflation that was created through our energy policies and our agriculture policies, it's just, it shows the amount of incompetence that has been running our country the last 4 years.
Since we're here at the Water Forum, I mean, the last question I want to ask you is, how have your views on water evolved since your time in public office? I mean, you clearly cited it as a vulnerability or a threat to Florida agriculture, but over the last decade or so, how have your personal views on water changed?
Well, I think, you know, growing up in East Pasco County and seeing what our water wars were like in Pasco County, you know, from the pumping to Pinellas County and Tampa Bay water and that, and I grew up watching that, right? I was very young when that was coming together, and you know, it was kind of like it was always an us versus them thing. What I've realized, you know, our water, and I've known this for many years now, but our water is not an us versus them, it's us versus us. We have to have clean drinking water for tourism. We have to have it for our economy. We have to have it for our population. We have to have it for agriculture. There's nothing that we do in this state that potable water does not touch. It's one of our most valuable products. So when you see it on a global scale, you know, water has become very expensive. If you go back to the 80s for a second, you know, we had people say, oh, one day you'll have to buy a bottle of water for a dollar. You know, everybody sort of chuckled and laughed about that back then, if you're old enough to remember those days. And today, I think we pay more than a dollar for some of them. And so they were right. And water is going to continue to become a more and more hot commodity because of the competing interests. And so when you think about water, you got to think about it in terms of, you can't live without food. So agriculture has to be at the top of your list. You can't live without clean drinking water. So the population has to be at the top of the list. And you can't run a state this size and under this type of an economy without clean water. And I was very proud, by the way, as Senate President, we put $75 million in the budget to help clean up springs annually, by the way, to help clean up our springs and estuaries. We have spent billions of dollars in the Everglades that I was instrumental in passing some of those bills and a lot of those reservoirs and cleanup operations. So the billions of dollars that we've spent over the last decade has been really amazing, and we're starting to see the fruit of that labor today. We do have a major issue still with water reuse. Today in the state of Florida, 800 million gallons will go to tide. Every bit of that could be used and save, by the way, 800 million gallons of groundwater pumping. That's where we need to get in the next decade, and we pass bills to help local communities get there. We hope by 2032, some of them are going to fail, and some of them aren't taking it very serious yet. But those are the things that, you know, as I think about water, we need to continue these programs. We need to continue to look at pollution sources, such as septic tanks and others, to make sure we're cleaning these things up so that, you know, 50 years from now, 100 years from now, we'll be thriving at a better pace than we are today in the state of Florida.
Well, first of all, you know, thank you for giving us some time to talk today. But I think more importantly, Ryan and I both have run state agencies, his much larger than mine, but both have had interactions not just with you, your agency, and its, you know, incredible staff. It's been great. So I want to thank you for the work that you and your staff are doing for Florida's agriculture, you know, and taking us into the future. So I appreciate that.
Commissioner Simpson, thank you for your time today.
Yeah, well, thanks for having me.
And that's it for this episode. Again, make sure you visit us at thefloridaspecifier.com to see other great ways to learn about what's going on in the world of the environment in Florida. Until then, for my co-host Ryan Matthews, this is Brett Seifer saying thanks, and we'll talk to you next time.